Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, the Off-Off-Broadway podcast. I think I may have said this before on the podcast, but to me, a sure sign of a successful show is the reluctance of the audience to leave the theater. As you'll hear from the background noise in this interview, this is a very, very successful show. It also helps to have your show in a bar and keep that bar open after the final curtain. Back on the podcast to talk about that excellent show in a bar are playwright Kieran Rickey and director John Stancato of Stolen Chairs, Potion, a play in three cocktails. Take a listen.
Although this is going to be a totally different interview, because this is a totally different
show,
which is super
cool.
That's
what we do.
Welcome back. Please say state your names for the records one more time.
I'm Kieran Rickey. I'm the co-artistic director and resident playwright of Stolen Chair.
I'm John Stancato. I'm the co-artistic director and resident director of the Stolen Chair.
Of the Stolen Chair.
That one chair that we stole... there was bar stools stolen for this show. It is Potion, a play in three cocktails. We are at, what's the name of the bar?
People Lounge.
People Lounge. We're on Allen, 163 Allen, yeah. Between
Rivington
and Stanton. And we're enjoying cocktails at the moment as we speak, as we did through the show. If you've heard of this show, that's probably one of the first things you heard about the show was that you get drinks through the show served to you by the cast. What you might not have heard is that the show is freaking amazing and that there's really sweet live music. So that's kind of where I wanted to start was how... the last time Stolen Chair was on Go See a Show, there were no words. So now we get really amazing... It was almost like a score. It was a vocal score. Yeah. Did you score it? Did you work with the composer to make this score? Did you say... Here are my words. Please put this to music. Or did you say, bring this guy into the... how did you do it? It was really beautiful to watch and hear.
First of all, thank you. And I'm really, really glad that it was beautiful to watch and hear, because I can safely say I had no idea what I was doing when I wrote it. I wrote a bunch of words, and I said, this is a crazy way to write a play, but we're going to try it. And
that seems to be your bag, crazy ways to write plays.
It's like...
That's kind of what you did last time.
That's what we do.
That's Stolen Chair's mission.
It is.
How could we make the process of making a play as hard as possible?
As hard and as weird as possible. We sort of came up with the weird structure for this go around, and I wrote words according to that structure. And then
I'm nagging.
Bossy, are you the interviewer? No. I am respecting the question.
We've had cocktails.
Yeah, that's beginning to show. The structure was, what was the structure? Basically, the text is drawn from opera libretti. So what I did was for any given scene, we created a plot, and then for any given scene, I sort of reached into my memory of operas that I know, Italian operas specifically, and I looked for an aria or a duet or a trio or whatever that I thought would work for that scene. So it didn't have to have the same content, but it was like, if I wanted two people to be fighting about something, I wanted a duet that sounded sort of, that could sound like people were arguing. And what I would do was I would then copy not the content, but everything else of that duet. I would copy the rhythm, the repetition, and the rhyme scheme.
And the meter, yeah.
Right, so I would if it was like da 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 da, my text would have to go da 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 da, and I could say whatever I wanted within that, but I had to follow the rhythm. And if it repeated two words over and over again, I had to do that. If, you know, whenever things rhymed, I had to make it rhyme. So we came up with this crazy concept for the structure, and then I just wrote it. I wrote according to that structure, and I had no idea what it would sound like, honestly, because I'd never done this before, and that's sort of a Stolen Chair thing. It's like, we've never done this before, let's try it. So then I handed it over to John and our amazing composer and musician Sean Cronin, and they and the actors, and I basically said, here's this text. I don't know what it does, can you guys make it work?
Well, I love that you said... My next comment was going to be, like, it felt like a remix in some sort of way. And so, like, it's really cool that you said that you pulled this out of operas, because it was almost like that sense of you had the record moving, and especially as a lot of these scenes with music happened, it was like you were moving the record, and you were getting this sense of, like, there's a lot of repetition, the beat would kind of, like, skip and move and feel like we're getting into a groove, and reminding you of what that scene is all about. I'm making these, like, really weird hand gestures. You can't see because this is a podcast. But, yeah.
They're so fucking.
No, it definitely, it felt like Grandmaster Flash was up there playing your play. And that was really cool. So I'm glad that that's actually what you were doing in many ways. You were remixing the play. That's DJ culture right there.
That's kind of amazing. I think what's hearing you say that, it's making me realize that I think it was a series of remixes. It was like I remixed these opera scores, which then, like, whatever I had written got sort of remixed in that rhythms that I had not anticipated were put onto the text by John and the actors, and then Sean came in and sort of put his own melodies and rhythmic choices on top of those. So
and
it
really
just
grounded it, because he's one man who's up here and does a phenomenal job playing multiple instruments at once, but he is only one man without electronic manipulation, which was, I thought, was a really smart choice. It felt like we're live in a bar with a guy in the corner kicking out some jams, and kicking them out damn well, like better than most of what you're going to hear anywhere on the Lower East Side
at
any given night.
And that's why the organetta instead of a keyboard.
Yeah.
Because if you have a keyboard there, then everybody knows that you could just press a button and create whatever percussion you want and whatever strange sounds you want. And so if we were going to have a piano sound here, we wanted it to be something that had that sort of analog feel of everything else.
And speaking of analog, that kind of relates back to the nature of the play in a very real way. So the play is called Potion, a Play in Three Cocktails. And I thought this was just a really great way, like, oh, look, we're going to do a play. We're going to tie in these cocktails. Everyone come see our play. We're gonna feature booze. It was like a good gimmick. But it goes way beyond that, because the cocktail, the idea of a potion in a cocktail, is actually the central premise of the play. So can you kind of give us what's the basic plot of the play?
Yeah, so there's a woman named Charlie who runs a bar which sells lovely cocktails and juices and other stuff, including potions, which can change you for a short period of time into anything you'd like to be. And so these potions can help bring out an aspect of your personality or help you experiment with a whole different aspect of your personality. And so the play centers around the regulars of her bar and some new people who come in. That sort of forms the backdrop of the play. And we discover over the course of this one night at the bar that she's desperate to create a love potion to get her business partner, Tom, with whom she's been working for 6 years, to finally notice her as anyone besides the genius behind the potions. And she tries to create a love potion that she could drink to make her fall in love with him.
A love potion that she could drink to make him
fall
in love
with her. Pronouns, thank you. And in the process, we run into trouble because a health inspector realizes that, wait, you drink these drinks and they change you. That's just a drug. And so he throws the gambit to her that if she could invent a potion that you drink and changes someone else, that will prove that it's magic and not just a hallucinogen. And sort of that creates the stakes of the play, and the rest of it is Charlie trying to create a potion that will satisfy the health inspector's request. Otherwise, she loses her bar and her chances at getting Tom to fall in love with her. All right. 5 cocktails or 10 cocktails in, not so bad.
No, that's actually a really great, an excellent summary. So this kind of, I like that, to bring it back to my point about the analog, that feels very like, I don't know, I feel like I've run into plays and run into, there's always these critiques and these ideas. There was a great New York Magazine article a little while ago about designer drugs and psychedelics, all sort of stuff. Like, it seems like that's kind of where culture is talking right now. It's like, what sort of drugs are we manipulating now to give us, like, whatever sort of effects we want, anything from, like, an Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind sort of thing, right, to, like, you know, just crazy euphoria at all times. So the over-medication of society. But in this case, like, it's kind of bringing it back to really, like, it's what just have a drink and relax. And in many ways, like, it felt like theater in a way. It's like, this is what we do. Like, we give you an escape in an analog way. We don't have crazy effects budgets for the most part. You don't need Spider-Man. You can come to a fucking bar on Allen Street and have a drink, and you are in a totally different place for a little while. And it's just for the little while. This is me totally editorializing, which is what I'm not supposed to do in this podcast. But I love that that temporality was very much built into the play and into the idea of what we're doing.
And we were really
we
were really attracted to the idea. I mean, I think one of the reasons we came to this structure idea with opera is that there's something about the world of opera which felt very much like a great night out at a great bar. That there's something about the ways in which emotions are raised and text is heightened and overlapping and overwhelming in a beautiful way that really reminded us of that. And then to complement that, the idea of potion as a metaphor for the actor's transformation, the idea that we were sort of making very literal and visible this transformation process, that an actor drinks a drink and all of a sudden they become a different character right in front of your eyes. And it sort of just calls to mind that lovely danger that acting used to have when you go back to like the 1600s, when actors were forbidden church burials because to transform into something or someone else was an unholy, blasphemous thing. It was a dangerous thing, and to create a space where we could all sort of just celebrate the transformation that we're watching and think about the degree to which we are all transforming in the process of watching together and in the process of drinking. And it felt, in a lot of ways, even though it's at this beautifully trendy bar on Allen Street on the Lower East Side, it felt like, in some ways, harkening back to theater's roots in some way.
Yeah, exactly that. Oh, we're getting all high-minded and theater-y about this, but like, where did that's great. I started it. I'm the jerk that went that place. But what's where did it start for you? Like, where did it come from? What was the impetus, I guess?
Well, what's so wonderful about working with a theater company and sort of being open to... What's so wonderful about working with a theater company and about the fact that theater is a practical art, that you're not just sitting, you know, by yourself sort of...
Spinning.
Right. That, you know, even if you are a writer, you're not just sitting in a room by yourself writing. There are all these other influences. What's so great about that is you get pushed in directions you didn't ever expect. And so in this case, we had done a show called The Bachelor's Tea Party, which took place in a tea salon and was structured to be accompanied by and showcase a high tea service. So every part of the tea service was accompanied by an act, and the actors and the audience was seated at tables enjoying the tea service. Having done that, we were invited by a bar to create a piece for their space. And so it was really a commission. It was, you know, we didn't have a project in mind. It was just this bar invited us to make something for them.
That integrated cocktails.
That integrated cocktails. And then ultimately that relationship with that bar fell apart.
After we had started building the play.
Right. And at that point, we had already, it was like, okay,
this is a good idea, next bar.
Exactly. So it honestly came out of this very sort of practical challenge of make a play for a bar to be had with cocktails. And then from there, we were thinking about, I don't exactly know how it happened, but we'd been talking about opera.
We're trying to find something that stylizes our work, that pulls us out of the everyday in some way, and we were trying to figure out what are the sort of theater history or performance history connections, analogs that somehow speak to this experience of drinking, this experience of getting drunk, intoxicated, or this experience of being in a bar. And as we talked about it, we just realized that opera really spoke to our need there. And then the question was how to do opera in our way, because we can't just compose an opera.
Yeah. It's so easy.
Snap our fingers and there's an opera. and we don't have the training or the experience to build the sort of incredible opera we'd want to, so we tried to figure out how to adapt the elements that really served our needs and integrate that into a wholly original style. Yeah. And then we went on a hunt for a replacement bar. We looked at 45 bars south of 14th Street. This was number 45, and we found it and fell in love, and everybody who works here and the owner Hines have been absolutely incredible. They've been integral creative parts of the process in terms of the cart that the actors serve the drinks from, one of our most beautiful props, is designed by the owner of the bar. We opened, and after the first three performances, he said, John, I love the show. I don't like the bar cart. Can you do something else? I'll build it for you. And he made this fantastic steampunk copper bar cart, and it's amazing. And it's just so lovely to know how supportive they've been, because I don't think this could happen without, because we're really trying to be site-specific in the truest sense of the word, and to use the site for all of its opportunities, and the fact that everybody here was embracing that made it such a beautiful process for us.
What it ended up in a beautiful show. So we are at, again,
People Lounge,
163
Allen, yep.
Allen, and between Stand and Rivington, and on the Lower East Side, Sunday nights, yep. 7 p.m. until when?
So we are scheduled until June 15th, and then
there's the possibility
of extension beyond.
Keep coming so that it keeps going, exactly. So that more people can enjoy this. So thanks so much, guys, for doing
this. Thanks so much.
And thanks for a really lovely night. It was a lot of fun. And for some tasty drinks.
Thank you, John and Kieran, for hanging out to chat, and thanks for the delicious drinks and delightful show. You can and should catch Potion, a play in three cocktails, at People Lounge, 163 Allen Street in Manhattan. Performances are every Sunday at 7 p.m. through June 8th, and two shows at 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. on Sunday, June 15th. They may extend, but be sure to get there as soon as you can so you don't miss it. Head to stolenchair.org for tickets and more information. Thanks to you for listening into the podcast. If you dig it, please like it on Facebook, facebook.com/GoSeeAShow. Follow at GoSeeAShow on Twitter and rate or comment on the show's iTunes page. Until next time, go see a show.
I'm just saying it made me laugh.
Last time it was all popcorn.
That's
booze. Yes, always something.